Well, praise the Lord. This blood, all the precious blood of Jesus. Wow, what a song. Amen, amen. So glad to have you here this morning. Pray you're blessed beyond measure. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you for washing us. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for your hope. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, take over, teach us, help us, instruct us, Holy Spirit. Give us knowledge today about who you are in greater depths. Open, Lord, expand our understanding so that we can understand more about you and your love for us, your great compassions that are new every morning. May your word go forth and have free course. And may you be glorified in the blessed holy name of Jesus, we ask it. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Continue, if you will, to pray for our dear sister Claire. We are praying for a speedy recovery. She's been in the hospital for many, many days. So we're believing God's going to touch her, bring her out, and have a testimony after this test. Praise God. Miracles. So many philosophers and theologians have offered or tried to offer their advice as far as what they believe it is, descriptions of what a miracle actually is. And so we're going to try to find some reasoning behind that today. Augustine was poetic, saying a miracle is, quote, whatever appears that is difficult or unusual above the hope and power of them who wonder. Scottish philosopher David Hume was a little more cynical and skeptical, and he said a miracle is a violation of the laws of nature. Oxford Richard Swinburne was straightforward, calling a miracle, quote, an event of an extraordinary kind brought about by a god or God, and of religious significance. C.S. Lewis said this, which I love, miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for the sum, for some of us to see. Let me repeat that. Miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see. Praise God. Someone else put it this way. A miracle is an event that involves the direct and powerful action of God, transcending the ordinary laws of nature and defying common expectations of behavior. Miracles are extraordinary occurrences that can only be attributed to the supernatural work of God and demonstrate his involvement in human history. In summary, a miracle is a divine work of God that transcends human understanding and inspires wonder, displays the greatness of God, reveals that God alone is above all other so-called gods, and causes people to recognize that God is present and active in the world. So the question some people have is, do miracles still happen? Adrian was about 5 months old when doctors suggested that his mother make the transition from breast milk to feeding him baby food so that he would get used to it and then be able to transition from there into solid foods. His mom explains he didn't respond well at all. He was in a lot of pain, screaming all through the night and all through the day. He sweat profusely and was spastic because of the pain. The doctor suggested that little Adrian, 5-month-old Adrian, be brought to a pediatric hospital and placed on a liquid IV with nutrition in it. 2 days later, all symptoms that Adrian had previously were gone. The only problem was that Adrian had to continue on a liquid nutrition diet. That's all he could take in. He couldn't eat regular food because once he did, it was very painful. He couldn't tolerate it. And there was this mysterious disease that was eating away at his digestive system. What was happening simultaneous to this too was that he was losing muscle mass. Something was happening that he couldn't take in food. His digestive system was breaking down as well as muscle mass leaving his body. Unfortunately, the hospital ended up being Adrian's second home. His mom and dad explained that during this time, he would spend roughly 120 to 180 days every single year in the hospital. And as you can imagine, it was a very trying time for the parents. And this went on year after year after year after year after year. Even to have a piece of watermelon, which is mostly water, would send little Adrian into a frenzy and such pain. After the years were passing, unfortunately, Adrian's condition worsened. This mysterious disease not only caused his stomach to not be able to tolerate anything, digestive system, muscle mass was leaving, but he also suffered from epilepsy, tachycardia, if I pronounced that correct, and other health issues that were really just bombarding this poor child every single day. When Adrian turned 11, the doctor suggested that the family take the trip that they had always talked about. And although he didn't say it, the outcome didn't look very good, looked very grim. In fact, it didn't seem as though Adrian was going to make it another year. And so the doctor suggested that they create some family memories now. Now, the family lived in Norway, and they had always dreamed of taking Adrian to Disney World in California, but they knew that they couldn't because poor Adrian would be stuck in a wheelchair looking at everybody having fun and probably get depressed even more not being able to participate. They wanted to go someplace, but they realized they couldn't go to the beach. He couldn't play. He was too weak. And so the family, who were devout Christians, decided that they were going to go to California, but they were going to go to something different. They decided that they were going to go to a conference that was happening in one of the churches that they loved and they always wanted to visit. So they brought Adrian there, and that was the place where they wanted to create memories. They figured this is the last year we're going to have with our child, so why don't we just go there? We'll go to a church conference. We'll see if God has something in store for us. And if not, at least we'll bring our child to a Christian place where he can hear God's word and be blessed getting out of Norway. Well, they came to California. They went to the church. And when they got there, there was a service happening. So they sat in on the service. And during that service, young Adrian looked over to his mom and said, "Mom, now I know that whatever God has for me, that's what I want. I know he wants the best for me." Listen to that again. "Mom, now I know that whatever God has for me, that's what I want." This young 11-year-old listening to the word of God basically says, like Jesus said in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Whatever God you want for me, that's what I'm going to take. I know he wants the best for me." After that, there was another session, and that session was on healing. So they were very enthusiastic and wanted to go. They sat in on that class as well. And after the teaching was done, the pastor asked anyone in the audience if there was something that they needed prayer for. And Adrian lifted up his hand. The pastor came up and he talked to Adrian. He said, "Adrian, what is it that you need?" And Adrian looked at the man and said, "I cannot eat food. I'm very sick and I need a touch from God." The pastor then began to pray for God to heal his digestive system, ask God to touch his body, fill him with the Holy Spirit, do whatever it was that was needed, that God would just allow a miracle, healing to occur in this young man. After he was through, he left. And at that moment, there was a break, and everyone was going to go out for lunch. And so the family decided, okay, we'll go someplace to eat. And as they were going, they asked Adrian, did you feel anything? You know, so many times we feel like after somebody prays and we need something like that, that angels are going to appear, lightning is going to strike, we're going to have this big miraculous thing happen, you know, like light is going to shine all around us or something like that. I love it. When the mom asked, do you feel anything? Has anything changed? Adrian responded, no, but it was a good adventure. They go to the restaurant, and of course, Adrian can't eat solid food, but his mom was always in the habit of preparing a dish even while they ate and placing it before Adrian so that he could cut it up, he could smell, at least partake in that way. And as the family were eating, there were breadsticks there on the table, and Adrian said, can I have a breadstick? And so he took it, and the parents are thinking, oh, he's going to play drums with it or something, but he actually ate it. And after he was through eating that one, he asked, can I have another? And his father looked at him, half amazed, half terrorized, not knowing what's going to happen now. Because remember, even a little piece of watermelon would send him into a frenzy, screaming with pain. He had just ingested a whole breadstick. And his parents said, no, you can't have any more. Adrian said, not anymore. 11-year-old boy, maybe 12 at this point. His parents didn't know what to do. They went back to the conference for the rest of it, sweating basically, worrying, watching their son, waiting at any moment to see what was going to happen. And then they were thinking, what should we do? Should we go to the hospital? And they thought, well, we're from Norway, we're in California, it's going to take too long to explain all of this. We're just going to wait on God to see what happens. Well, they went home, and as they went home, Adrian went to sleep, and the parents, again, terrified, not knowing what was going to happen. They finally went to bed. The next morning, the mother says that she woke up, went into the other room where Adrian was, very gingerly, wondering if her son had passed through the night. This is what they dealt with day in and day out. She pulled the cover from off of his head, seeing his rosy cheeks, and he's calm and he's breathing normally, sleeping. And then he opens up his eyes, and by this time the father comes alongside too, just amazed that Adrian hasn't gone into a screaming fit with pain. And the first words that come out of Adrian's mouth are, when is breakfast?
Praise the Lord.
When is breakfast? Wow. Healed, supernaturally touched. His mom explains, his healing didn't come with a manual. We didn't know how to do this. But honestly, we just couldn't stop him. He would eat everything we put in front of him. He had hamburgers and fries and salads and pizzas and ice cream, everything. And the mom says it was just impossible to stop him. Adrian's reasoning, quote, I had 12 years to catch up on. Wow, wow. Here is a boy who couldn't eat it all, not even a little bit of watermelon. And here he is eating everything after a prayer meeting and after a prayer was offered for him. Coincidence? No, it's a God incidence. When they got back to Norway, they brought back Adrian back to the doctors. Adrian was examined. One said he couldn't believe what happened. He said, this cannot be explained medically. I want you to hear that again. This cannot be explained medically. This was something supernatural. This was something miraculous. This was a healing that just happened. Coincidence? Absolutely not. They fly from Norway to California, visit a church. They happen to go into a meeting that's talking about healing. A prayer is offered, and after that prayer, even though Adrian doesn't feel anything, he takes bread, a breadstick, and he eats it, and from that moment on, he was healed. The physiotherapist said, this is a miracle from God. Amen. It just can't be explained any way else. Hallelujah! Miracles are real, and miracles happen. Healing happens. So, who is this God? Who is this God, this supreme being that performs these healings? Where is the God who performs the unexplainable with signs and wonders and miracles? He is all over. But if you want an up-close personal account and a resume, it is found right here in this book, in the Bible. All the miracles you ever want to see or hear about, all the healings you ever want to see, the supernatural, you must believe in a God who is supernatural, able to do the supernatural if you want the supernatural to happen to you. It's in the Bible, and the Bible is a book like no other. The Bible itself is a miracle. It is alive and powerful, inspired by God Himself. God is giving you testimony after testimony of what He has done, what He is capable of doing, that there are no limits, no limits to what He can do. You can find it right there in the Scriptures. And what's the resume? What's God's resume of the signs and wonders and that He's done? How about we talk about the creation of the heavens and the earth? How about we talk about the billions of galaxies and stars that are out there? How about we talk about the miracle of God's creating all kinds of human beings and of all languages and tribes and all over the world from one person? God created all humanity, everyone. How about stories like Moses and the burning bush that was not consumed, and God speaking out of that bush saying, I am that I am. How about testimonies like the ones we read about in the Old Testament of God opening up the Red Sea so that His children could walk through on dry ground? How about God making the sun to stand still in Joshua? How about the walls of Jericho falling down? Did you know that in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. This is an interesting miracle that God performed, but it says that He sent a plague of hemorrhoids on those living in Ashdod and Gath because they did some evil. Imagine that, God who can do that. God also provided for one of His servants called Elisha. He miraculously fed Elisha with bread and meat by ravens. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. God raised a widow's son from the dead, 1 Kings 17, 17 through 24. After a three-year drought, rain comes in answer to prayer. Water miraculously provided for this king named Jehoshaphat and his allies. A widow's supply of oil was increased in order to sell and get out of debt. Wow. You know, God's able to do that, don't you? God's able to get you out of debt. He's able to bring increase to you. He's able to do the miraculous because He's God and we are not. The sun on the shadow on the sundial went back 10 degrees. And the Bible says that God sent His word to heal us as well, to heal all of our diseases. God sent His word. Well, that's interesting because in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word, John says in chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh. God sent His Word to heal all our diseases. God sent Jesus to us. Jesus is the Word manifest in the flesh. Think of those invisible words that God spoke suddenly becoming alive, hallelujah, in the person of Jesus Christ. And God, when He came down to this earth and manifested Himself in human form through the person of Jesus Christ, We see miracle after miracle after miracle, healing powers. Jesus, you remember, turned water into wine. Jesus cured Peter's mother-in-law who had a high fever. God heals fevers. Jesus healed a paralyzed man in Capernaum. Jesus cured a crippled man in Jerusalem. He restored a withered hand, the withered hand of a man. He raised a widow's son from the dead, just like the Old Testament. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he was dead 4 days. Jesus commanded even the winds and the storm of a sea to cease and to stop, and it obeyed him. He demonstrated his divine power even over nature, even over devils, even over physical bodies and spiritual diseases. Jesus cured the blind. He healed a woman who had an issue of blood. Jesus at one time fed 5,000 men plus their wives and children with just a few loaves and fishes. Jesus cured a man with dropsy or edema, a swelling of the soft tissues due to the accumulation of water excess. Jesus cleansed 10 lepers. Jesus went about, the Bible says, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says this, Matthew 4:24, listen carefully. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, all kinds, those suffering severe pain, demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Matthew 12:15, it says, and a large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. Matthew 8:16 says, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirit with a word, the spirits with a word, and healed all the sick. Mark 6:56, and wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge or the hem of his garment, and all who touched it were healed. Luke 4:40, one more, it says, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and listen to this, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Laying his hands on each one. I want you to picture this. Multitudes are coming with all kinds of diseases, and Dr. Jesus is there, and he's laying his hands one after another, after another, after another, after another. And every time he lays his hand on them, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, they're healed. Hallelujah. Whatever disease they came in, if imagine coming in with AIDS or COVID, being in COVID with just no hope at all, Jesus laying, and he's still laying hands on people today. That's our prayer. Father, we pray, stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus Christ. God can still do it. God still does it. Now listen, there were so many miracles that the New Testament couldn't contain it. The Apostle John says it this way, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, listen to this, if they were written in detail one by one, I expect that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Imagine going back 2,000 years ago, being with the apostles, every single day witnessing a miracle, witnessing a healing, watching Jesus do so many things. Every day was packed for 3.5 years. Every single day, John is saying, was packed with the miraculous. I don't know about you, but I want that back. I want to see that back in the church. I want to see God do the miraculous again. I'd love to see church open up, not just one day a week. It's hard enough to get people to come just one day a week. And I appreciate the fact that we can do this live. But man, there's something about coming together. Do not neglect the gathering of yourselves, as is the custom of some. That's another sermon. I gave you that for free. But Jesus, every single day for 3.5 years, performing signs and wonders and a miracle. God, bring back revival again so that we can see the miraculous and the supernatural happening. Are healings, signs, wonders available to us today? You're going to have people out there that are always going to be skeptical because they cannot get past the supernatural. They like everything in the natural. They just cannot step beyond the natural into the supernatural. And unfortunately, when you get to that point, you limit God. You don't allow God to be God like we preached about. God is going to be God, always going to be God. And the unfortunate thing is they can believe, some folks out there can believe for God to do the spiritual thing like salvation, but they can't believe God to do healings or signs and wonders. And basically what they're saying is God's not the same. Yeah, he did that in the New Testament, but he's not the same today. He doesn't do that anymore. Well, now you're just calling God a liar because God says, I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. They're limiting God. That's a dangerous place to be. How about we go back and ask maybe 12 or maybe by this time 13-year-old Adrian. You know what Adrian believes? He says, quote, I believe in the power of prayer and I believe in the power of God. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. You know, those whom God has touched and whom God has healed, and I can testify myself to healing, but we believe in the power of God and in the supernatural, and we believe in the healing because we've experienced it. And unfortunately, those who don't believe limit God. How about we ask the atheist who came into a church service in a wheelchair with a shriveled arm and was paralyzed his whole life. And when he came in to that church service, he decided he was going to come in and he said, quote, I defy this Christian God, end quote. He wanted to come in and make a statement that he didn't believe in God, that he had this withered hand, that he was paralyzed. As soon as he said, I defy this Christian God, suddenly his arm shot up into the air. It was fully healed. He looked at it and he began to weep and he was converted on the spot. That's a man who was coming in who didn't believe in healing. There's a book out by Lee Strobel called The Case for Miracles. Please, if you're able to get this book, do so. It's an incredible read. And in this book, it's A Case for Miracles, a journalist investigates evidence for the supernatural, Lee Strobel. And in this book, there are many references to healing, but I love this one. He writes that a Wisconsin man was crushed under a semi-trailer, destroying most of his intestine. He was slowly starving to death because he couldn't digest food. He dropped to 125 pounds from 180 pounds. A friend of his who was a believer, a Christian, felt God was leading him to leave New York City to travel to Wisconsin just to pray for this man. When the friend got there, he looked at his friend who was slowly dying, placed his hands on him, began to pray. And the man who was being prayed for said, it felt like an electric jolt go through my body. He was instantly healed. In fact, a medical report says that his small intestine had more than doubled in length. Now listen, a small intestine in an adult can get wider, but it cannot get longer. Exactly, but God, the supernatural happening. How about we ask a Baptist preacher, growing up in a Baptist home, went to seminary, went to Bible college and seminary, was a fundamental Baptist, did not believe any signs or wonders or miracles could happen. But then suddenly, as he was reading the Bible one day, and he's reading the book of Acts specifically, he was wondering why this wasn't happening in the churches today. And God allowed situations to happen. And he actually started to pray for individuals who were sick. And not only pray, but he began to see them healed as he prayed. And he writes in Signs, Wonders, and a Baptist Preacher, How Jesus Flipped My World Upside Down. He writes, quote, I have been a Baptist all my life. And I am noticing something interesting happening here in America, the supernatural. Get it? We keep hearing it over and over. God is spirit and God is supernatural. The supernatural has moved away from the charismatic only conversations. In my city, a few traditional Methodist and Presbyterian churches have healing services once per week. Stories of the impossible are starting to rise from unlikely places. Hallelujah. By the time my children are raising their children, I have a sneaking suspicion that the church will look a lot more like it did when the King was here doing works of the Father. Page 24. Hallelujah. Our miracles, our signs, our wonders, healings for today are available for us today? Absolutely yes, they are. Hallelujah. You know, we're in this series called The Alphabet of God, and today we're on letter H. And God says in Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. That's what we're focusing on today. God is our healer. God is the one who's able to heal us. God is able to do much more than we can dream or imagine, far greater than our minds could ever think. And the greatest miracle that God has ever provided for you and for me is the miracle that came by way of the cross through Jesus Christ, through his atoning for our sins. He took the place, our place, on that cross and died in our stead. And the Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. We are healed. By his stripes you are healed. And so many will say, well, that's just referring to spiritual healing. Well, if you look at the Greek word eomai, it refers definitely to healing of all kinds of physical and diseases, all kind of physical ailments. And we have examples of that. Did you know that Jesus wants to bring through his cross, he wants to bring not only physical healing, but he wants to bring emotional healing. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it talks about he's come to heal, same word, heal the brokenhearted. Those who are downcast, those who are dejected, those who are crushed, those who are overcome by grief and sorrow and despair, there's healing. He's come to bring healing in that area of our life too. And yes, there's spiritual healing that takes place as well. You can be healed of demonic spirits. That's what the Bible talks about, uses this word regarding the healing that took place as Jesus was expelling demons from individuals. But it's also healing, being made whole in relationship to God, our Father. You know, our relationship is broken because sin has its picture there, and sin has separated us from God. But Jesus came to go to the cross to die for you, to die for me, so that we can be healed spiritually in our relationship with God. We can be brought back into fellowship with him. We can be made right and made whole. Our sins can be taken away if we come to the cross. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to find salvation in anyone else. You are not going to find healing in anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among us that whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only one who can give you that healing that you need. He's the only one who can touch your physical body and bring about healing. Some ask, well, don't Christians get sick? Absolutely. Christians do get sick. That's something we don't want to read about in the Bible. But Epaphroditus was sick. And the Apostle Paul says he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him and also had mercy on me. Amen. Epaphroditus was sick because he had been laboring for the gospel so much, but the Bible does not hold back the fact that he grew ill. We don't like to read things like that because we're saying we're going to be whole and, you know, we need faith. Well, of course you need faith. Come on. That's the only thing that gets us there is faith in Christ. But is your faith going to waver when God allows you to get sick and you don't have healing right away?
No.
Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what they said in Daniel chapter 3 when the king was saying, bow down to our gods? They said, no, we will not bow down. And they said, well, now you're going to go into the fiery furnace. And they said, listen, we know that our God is able to deliver us from the furnace of fire. We know that. There's faith, right? Here's the key thing that they say afterward. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your gods. Even if he doesn't. That is the complete Christian. That's a mature Christian. God is able to do it, but even if he doesn't, we are not going to lose faith. We are going to stand strong, believing God anyway. Go read it for yourself one time, Daniel chapter 3, and you'll see what I mean. That's a mature Christian, because what happens many times is that sickness comes, illness comes, and the Christian thinks, I'm out of fellowship with God. And listen, that could be the case. Sin could have entered the picture. God could be chastising you. But most times, God is allowing you to go through this because he wants you to have consistent faith, constant faith, believing that he's sovereign over all, that he's in control. You can't command God to do something when he's wanting to teach you a lesson and bring you somewhere. You can't do that with God. You can't manipulate God. Just allow God to be God and just pray and believe for God to do the miraculous. I'm not saying you shouldn't have faith and believe God. Don't get me wrong. Listen, Epaphroditus was sick unto death. A young pastor named Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, drink a little wine and don't just drink water, but a little wine for thy often frequent illnesses. The Apostle Paul also suffered something of an eye condition when he said to the Galatians, you were ready to take out your eyeballs and even give it to me. So Paul went through stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how there was given to Paul a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Look up the word buffet. It means to pounce on him. One translation has tormented me. So Paul was going through some agonizing times, and he besought the Lord three times that the Lord would take this away. And God says, sure, Paul. No. God says, nope, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul responds to that. His attitude is, all the more then will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, we've got to get to a place where we give thanks in all things, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what we're going through, be able to give God glory and praise, knowing that he's in control of our lives, knowing that what we're going through is something that he knows about all too well, and that he's going to bring us over to the other side. Can somebody say amen? He's with you in the boat, and he's going to bring you through to the other side. Remember that story? Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Jesus begins that whole thing with, let us go over to the other side. They get in, they go through the storm, and that's when it hits. All hell breaks loose. And of course, they're crying out, don't you care? We're going to die. Isn't that the attitude we have when we go through difficulties? Lord, would you forget about me? Are you sleeping, Father? But no, he's been there all the time. Healing, as I said before, comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for doctors. We thank God for nurse practitioners. We give God the glory for making them. Luke, the apostle, was a doctor, a physician. We thank God for them. I'm not saying that they're no good and they're evil. Absolutely not. We thank God for what they're doing, and we need to pray for them. So many, even now, during this time, in this pandemic in hospitals, we've seen them, I've seen them, are laboring. Thank God for them. We praise God for doctors. We love them. But understand also that first we need to go to the Lord, seek his face, ask him for a touch, ask him for healing. And yes, if that doesn't happen right away and he leads us to a doctor, then it happens that way too. But God allows healing of all kinds to come, but it's always him. He is the healer. Like I said, I thank God for doctors. I thank God for medications, but God is the healer. He allows people to even invent this stuff to go into our bodies to help us. Amen. And to heal us. And you can have healing. You can have it, but it's got to come through faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 puts it this way. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, earnestly seek him. God wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. Most of all, he wants to heal your relationship with him through coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's by faith. Jesus asked a man, wilt thou be made whole? In other words, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? And I believe the Lord is asking that question to somebody out there today. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to have fullness of life? Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. He wants to heal you physically. He wants to heal you emotionally. He wants to heal you spiritually. He wants all demonic presence to leave. There's a woman right now we're going to pray for. God wants to heal you from those demon spirits that are trying to oppress you. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy, oppressed, harassed by the devil. Are you being harassed today? Jesus wants to bring healing to you. So many are being harassed in their mind. They can't get a good night's rest. They have no rest. And Jesus is your answer. Call unto him right now. Call on the name of Jesus. Somebody, call on the name of Jesus right now. Call on Jesus with all your heart, and he will answer you in this day of trouble, and he will deliver you, and you will glorify him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you so much for listening today. We pray the Lord will bless you. We pray the Lord will keep you. We pray the Lord will allow his glorious rays of sunshine and his face to shine upon you. We pray that God would grant you shalom, healing, inner tranquility, peace, everything that shalom is. We pray that God would give to you today. May you experience the healing touch of Jesus. May you experience Jesus' hand come down on you right now. May he touch you. May he touch you and make you whole. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this time. And Lord, we again just pray blessing on your people. Lord God, for those that are out there that need spiritual healing, you said whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, thank you that it's by your stripes, Lord Jesus, that you brought about healing for all of us. Thank you for healing us. Lord, thank you for touching us, and thank you that you are our healer. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. God willing, next week, we're in person in church. Amen. God bless. Have a great day in the Lord. Love you. Bye.